Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Today, we continue our Project 2025 series by focusing on what it means for you and for the people across this country. The Heritage Foundation-led authoritarian plan lays out a comprehensive agenda to transform the United States into a Christian nation under Donald Trump and future Republican presidents. Project 2025 would dismantle the administrative state and ensure arch-conservative rule for decades to come. It would affect all aspects of life and would be implemented by expanding presidential powers and by eliminating federal agencies. The Heritage Foundation's president, Kevin Roberts, told MSNBC that the plan is to fire over 50,000 civil servants in the federal government and replace them with 20,000 MAGA loyalists. The organization Democracy Forward has done an extensive read of Project 2025's 900-page mandate for leadership. They put together a 48-page report called The People's Guide to Project 2025. They write, from attacking overtime pay, student loans, and reproductive rights, to allowing more discrimination, pollution, and price gouging, those behind Project 2025 are preparing to go to incredible lengths to create a country only for some, not for all of us. If these plans are enacted, which Project 2025's authors claim can happen without congressional approval, 4.3 million people could lose overtime protections, 40 million could have their food assistance reduced, 220,000 jobs could be lost, and much, much more. The stakes are higher than ever for democracy and for people. Joining us to discuss the People's Guide to Project 2025 is Sky Perryman, President and CEO of Democracy Forward, an organization that uses the law to build collective power and advance a vibrant democracy for all. Democracy Forward works on issues like fair wages, reproductive health care, post-Dobbs, education, and the climate crisis. Hi, Sky. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to have you, Sky. Before we dive in, you all did such an extensive read of Project 2025 and put this really great guide together. Before we dive in and talk about that, can you tell us a bit more about the work that you all do at Democracy Forward?
Absolutely. So Democracy Forward, we were founded in the wake of the 2016 election when we, as a country, entered a new and unfortunate era in American life, where the fight for democracy was not just about how we continue to move forward, but was about having to hold on to hard-fought gains, whether that's civil rights, whether it's gains in healthcare access or workers' rights. And so Democracy Forward, we're an organization of lawyers. We have policy strategists and also communicators. And we took the former Trump administration to court over 100 times on behalf of people and communities throughout the United States, reversing a range of harmful policies. And since that time, we have really been working in states and local communities to fight this extremism that we do see embedded in Project 2025, that is really alive and well in some of these communities, and to ensure that we're all working together to create a bold and vibrant democracy that serves all of us, not just some of us.
So like I said, you now put out a 48-page report called The People's Guide to Project 2025. It is so extensive. What stood out the most to you and your team?
Well, when we started looking at Project 2025, first of all, I'll say many of the policies, while very extreme, were not surprising to us, because we have been on the front lines of these fights. And, one thing for everyone to understand is that this work of these extremist organizations that are seeking to wield the law, to move us backwards, that is happening in courts and communities across the country. You see that with the Dobbs decision. You see that in many ways. And so one thing, when Project 2025 first came out, it was really a confirmation of these concerning trends that we've seen across the country. And then the most devastating thing that stood out to us was this attempt to really take away from the American people rights and benefits and services that we have come long used to and accustomed to in this country. And so that is one of the main things. It's really a plan to take away from people our freedoms and our progress as a country.
Today, we're joined by Sky Perryman, President and CEO of Democracy Forward, and we are talking about the People's Guide to Project 2025. Sky, we're going to try to put you on a better line, so I'm just going to read a bit from your report. I also just want to let listeners know, if you want to call and ask Sky a question about this report, we'd love to hear from you. They go into detail. I'll just read a couple of the sections here. Project 2025 would cut wages, create unsafe workplaces, and destabilize the economy, make it harder for Americans to make ends meet, restrict reproductive rights and access to healthcare, enable discrimination across society, set polluters loose and undo climate action, make education unaffordable and unwelcoming, and undermine the government's ability to deliver for people. So if you have any questions or comments, if you want to take a look at this report, you can find it at our website, kalw.org, click news, and then your call. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. And I think we have Sky back on a better line. Are you back, Sky?
I am.
Oh, much better. Thank you. Thank you.
Great.
Okay, great.
Thanks for your patience.
Of course. So I just want to go over a couple of the snapshots. So these are the things that really stood out for all of you. And these numbers are so important. And this is the section of Project 2025 that's not getting the attention it deserves. So as you all report, it would limit access to food assistance, which an average of more than 40 million people rely on monthly, 21.6 million households. Eliminate the Head Start Early Education Program, which serves over 1 million children. I'm so glad I found this, Sky, because I have not seen this anywhere. It would completely eliminate Head Start.
That's what, that is one of the extreme policies that it's seeking to do. And, you know, that really penalizes not just our kids, who rely on this critical program, but it penalizes working families and families that are trying to make ends meet, that need this extra assistance for, you know, the Head Start assistance. So that is one of the, you know, critical problems with Project 2025.
And then since we're talking about children, here's something I also have not seen. Expose the 368,000 children in foster care to risk of increased discrimination.
Yes, I mean, this is, and we saw this, unfortunately, in the prior Trump administration. There were a number of efforts to undermine protections for foster youth, and you see that rearing its head in Project 2025 as well.
Here's another one that a lot of our listeners will want to look into, because a lot of our listeners, including my parents, are on Medicare. You all say that Project 2025 would push more people towards Medicare Advantage and other worse private options. This would apply to 33 million people.
Absolutely. That's one of the main things we want to make sure that everyone understands about this, is an attempt to privatize or to push people to worse programs.
Okay, so we've got time, Sky. Let's just dive in here and look at all of the different things that you uncovered. We're just going to go through all of these sections because this is so important. Your first section is cut wages, create unsafe workplaces, and destabilize our economy. You write, Project 2025 would enable corporations to cut overtime pay, relax worker safety rules, allow workplace discrimination, and more. You write, in 2024, the Biden administration issued a policy that will make over 4 million workers newly eligible to qualify for overtime pay. The U.S. Department of Labor did this by raising the overtime threshold, which is the salary ceiling under which salaried workers still qualify automatically for overtime pay if they work more than 40 hours in a week. Project 2025 does not want to raise that threshold. Instead, it proposes lowering it and taking away overtime eligibility from millions of workers. And that would leave 4 million people in industries that pay annually, but still at lower wages, stuck working long hours without overtime pay. And I really appreciate that you do this. If you want to learn more about this, you can read it on page 492 in Project 2025. Yes. So tell us more about this part.
Well, I mean, this is a trend that we are seeing. It's in Project 2025. The same groups, by the way, that are behind Project 2025 are trying to overturn these protections in court as we speak. And it's something that we unfortunately saw in the prior administration. So here, there are a number of proposals, and we've tried to highlight some of the major ones in the People's Guide that will make it harder for working Americans to make ends meet, either through cutting overtime protections, which you've just outlined and is in the People's Guide, or through making workplaces less safe, or through enabling discrimination in workplaces. And so, as you just referenced, people can go to democracyforward.org. You can see the People's Guide yourself, read these sections, which we're going to go over today. So you might not even need to read those because Rose and I will go over them. And you can also see the specific page in Project 2025 itself that says these things, because one of the things that we're hearing is the policies are so extreme, they're almost unbelievable. People can't believe that they're in there. And so we wanted to make sure we could put that in plain view. But this is a really critical thing. Who in this country believes that when you are working and you are working overtime, that you do not deserve a fair wage for that overtime? Being paid for your work is a basic American value. It is obviously deeply popular, and these proposals to undermine worker protections are deeply harmful and unpopular with the American people. So it is something we wanted to highlight, and I appreciate you bringing attention to that as well.
The other section in the worker part of Project 2025 would weaken child labor protections. You are right. Project 2025 would amend hazard regulations to allow employers to put young people in unsafe working conditions. What does it say exactly?
Yes. I mean, well, the Project 2025 is seeking to change current regulations that protect children and young people from child labor laws. And so this is one thing that we wanted to make sure to highlight in our work on the People's Guide, is that a lot of these regressive, problematic, harmful changes that are being proposed in Project 2025, they're being done in very tricky ways, right? Like, it's, oh, we're just modifying a small regulation, right? They're being done in ways that I think the hope was that people wouldn't really see what was at stake, because you can, you know, there's a chance people just think, oh, that's just a minor regulation. These are big protections for people and communities that many of us have taken for granted for many years. That Project 2025, it would propose to roll back, and would do so, by the way, without the approval of Congress, because many of these issues are regulatory issues, which in our system of government, the authors of Project 2025 would say a president could do this on day one. And so that's really what we wanted to focus on in our People's Guide, were these very harmful threats that are really hanging together by a series of regulations that it's seeking to undo. So that's how they would do it, is they would seek to amend a Department of Labor or roll back a Department of Labor protection.
And as you point out in the People's Guide, in their own words on page 595, the document says, some young adults show an interest in inherently dangerous jobs.
Yes.
Current rules forbid many young people, even if their family is running the business, from working in such jobs. This results in worker shortages and dangerous fields, and often discourages otherwise interested young workers from trying the more dangerous job. So it sounds like they're framing this in such a way as, we should let people do this because their parents might own a business.
Well, they try to frame these things in all kinds of ways to avoid accountability for what they really are, which are unconscionable practices that many in this country have worked to ensure the American people and young people are protected from. And so, you know, my parents are small business owners. You know, lots of people grow up in families like that, but that is not that's not a reason that we need to be undoing core protections that keep young people, who are often more vulnerable to these types of conditions, safe.
Sky, so many of our past guests during our Project 2025 series say, even if Trump does not win, Republican-controlled states will embrace and are embracing
yes.
many aspects of Project 2025. And I just want to point to an article in the Washington Post by Lauren Gurley back in April called at least 16 states have one or more bills to weaken their child labor laws,
yes.
while 13 are seeking to strengthen them. So this is already happening in Republican-controlled states.
Well, that's one thing, and that's where our vantage point at Democracy Forward, I think, is really important, because it's one thing that we really wanted to make sure people understood, is that we're on the front lines in states like Florida and Texas and Arkansas, right? States where we are already seeing many of these policies, and I know we'll get to other ones, I know we'll get to education, others, but many of these policies are already seeking to be, you know, they're already sort of taking foot in states across the country. They're also, by the way, many of these fights are happening in courtrooms where the same far-right groups that were behind overturning Roe v. Wade, the same far-right groups that are trying to seek to deny election results or suppress voting rights in court, they're also litigating a number of cases to try to get the courts to overturn protections that the democratic process has produced, to reverse regulations, to halt, you know, we just had this, you know, there's multiple litigations to prevent the Pregnancy Workers Fairness Act from being implemented. I mean, we see this extremism all the time. And then, of course, what Project 2025 threatens is that with a federal executive branch, with a president that is not a president that is a pro-democracy president, we obviously would then see a number of other threats at the same time. But I'm so glad you raised this, because that is one thing we want to make sure the American people understand. Project 2025 is not only a threat, it is here, but people do have the power to push back and to build this bold and vibrant future. And that's what we're really focused on.
And one more fact about child labor. I've been wanting to do a show about this. The Washington Post reports that federal law forbids all minors from working in jobs deemed hazardous, like roofing or meatpacking.
Right.
14 and 15-year-olds are not allowed to work past 7 p.m. on a school night or 9 p.m. on weekends. Indiana enacted a law in March that repeals all work hour restrictions for 16 and 17-year-olds who could not work past 10 or before 6 on school days. The law also extends legal work hours for 14 and 15-year-olds. So this means a 14-year-old in Indiana can now work in a meatpacking plant past 10 p.m.?
Well, that's the attempt. I mean, that's what these extremists are seeking to attempt in states. And of course, we know that federal law, in many instances, can protect from these state-based attempts, but that's only if the federal law holds. And that's why Project 2025 really could accelerate these attacks on our safety, on our ability to work in safe environments, on the future and the ability of young people to thrive so much more. And I think that's a great idea, your idea around a show on child labor laws, because we see so many examples of where this extremism and harmful extremism is already taking foot, as you've noted.
On today's Your Call, we are continuing our Project 2025 series by speaking with Skye Perryman, President and CEO of Democracy Forward, an organization that uses the law to build collective power and advance a bold democracy for all people. They did an extensive read of the 900-plus page, it's called Mandate for Leadership. They came out with a 48-page report called The People's Guide to Project 2025. They say it's among the most profound threats to the American people. If you have any questions or comments for Skye about what they found, it is very extensive. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. Let's talk about the section called Make It Harder for Americans to Make Ends Meet. You all write that Project 2025 would make it harder for people to access food assistance by adding ineffective requirements and reevaluating important programs. What did you find?
Well, one thing that they're seeking to do is they're trying to even put the SNAP program at risk, which is for people that need food assistance. And what we know about people in our country that rely on SNAP and food assistance is many of them are working people that are seeking to make ends meet. And so that is one major threat that we saw. Obviously, the overtime protections that we've already discussed. We also saw where it's really seeking to eliminate Head Start, which you mentioned in your lead up, and to limit the ability of veterans to qualify for certain disability benefits, which is something that, you know, beyond what that does to make ends meet and for working families and for people, it's also just unconscionable to be trying to make it harder for people that have served our country in our armed forces. So those are some examples. I can keep going. I know that we will talk about the safety net for farmers and others, but those are some areas where they've made it really hard. Cutting transport, compromising our public transit systems. Everybody that Many people that work in this country for a living know how big of a deal a commute is and being able to access good transportation. So we see a range of these policies that really make it harder for folks across the country going about their lives, seeking to make ends meet for themselves, their communities, and their families.
And just to go a bit deeper on a few things you mentioned there, on the section about veterans, this is, again, page 649, Project 2025. Yep. It proposes to have the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs cut costs by having fewer health conditions qualify veterans for disability benefits. A proposal could greatly restrict disabled veterans' access to life-sustaining benefits.
Which means that and imagine this, and by the way, this isn't hypothetical because we saw a number of attacks and cuts on veterans' benefits in the prior administration. But imagine that as a veteran, you're coming in with a health condition and then you're told, I'm sorry, you don't qualify because of, you know, something, again, trying to hide under the radar because of a regulatory change that a new administration has made that makes it harder for you to get your health care. That's why when we say that Project 2025, that they plan to take away from the American people things that we take for granted and rely on every day. This is a prime example of that for our veterans.
Mm. And then when it comes to farmers, Project 2025 wants to restrict safety nets for farmers to, quote, unusual situations, even though we know that the difficult conditions farmers experience are not unusual but common. A restriction of assistance to farmers would disparately impact low-income farmers and those without extensive assets to fall on when things go awry. And I should say, I'm reading directly from the People's Guide.
The People's Guide, yes. Right. And that's on page 297 of Project 2025, if you want to go read it there for yourself. Our organization's had the privilege and honor of doing a lot of work with rural communities around the country and with family farmers and other farming communities. And what we know, as with everything in the country, is that there are many of these farming communities that do operate on small business models. They are, they do need assistance and don't just have private equity assets to fall back on, right? If something goes wrong. But Project 2025 would seek to make it harder for rural Americans and for farming communities. We've seen this before, but it's there again. And we wanted to highlight that because these are the things that aren't getting as much attention. I'm so grateful that you're having me on to talk about this, because these are the things that aren't getting as much attention in the news because there's so many other concerning things about Project 2025. But we want to make sure that people understand what is at stake for ordinary working Americans in a range of industries and a range of communities across the country.
To your point, I'm guessing that a lot of people are not familiar with the Capital Investment Grants Program, which is a Project 2025 target for elimination. So can you tell us more about the CIG?
Yes. Well, this is a key public transportation funding program. It has enabled investments in communities to improve public transport systems, to create more infrastructure. This is one of the targets for cutting funding. And I'll just say, as someone that was on the front lines of this in the prior administration, we saw a number of good community programs and investment programs on the chopping block, even through these kind of regulatory actions. So this is outlined right there in Project 2025, one way that they're really going to make it harder for people to be able to rely on our transit systems and our public transit systems, spelled out there, but again, not getting the attention that we think it was deserved. I'll also say this is the type of program, it's part of the, it was a bipartisan supported program. programs. So many of these programs, these are not things that just people from one, you know, people from one political ideology like, and people from another political ideology don't. These are attacks on all of us as Americans, and it would really seek to even eliminate this altogether.
Well, and this is important because the CIG, the Capital Investment Grants yes. Program, was responsible for awarding billions of dollars for public transportation projects across the country as a result of the bipartisan infrastructure law. This is so important. I feel like public transportation just doesn't get much attention, especially, I mean, electric cars is obviously a very important topic, but it gets so much more attention than public transportation. So if they got rid of the CGI, what would that mean for buses and trains? What would that mean?
CIG. Well, you know, I mean, you've been to cities, there's, you know, and in places probably, you know, there are places where our public transportation systems are outdated, right. need to be updated, need more investment. They need to be bigger because there's more people commuting now. And that's really one of the things that these grants targeted. And so getting rid of that really deprived, it puts more strain on the public transportation system. It will make it harder for people, again, to make ends meet, because the foundation of being able to do, you know, your work, many people have to commute and rely on these transit systems, particularly with the increased cost of, you know, the increased cost of gas and those types of things. So so that's a place, and that's on page, just for those following at home, that's on page 635 of Project 2025 itself. And again, we wanted to highlight this because some of this stuff seems real wonky when you're reading about it or you're glossing over in this 900-page document. I think that was by design, to try to get people's eyes to glaze over and, oh, well, you know, this is, you know, to really not pay attention to the very detailed ways in which there are plans on day one to try to make it harder for people to make ends meet in this country.
Today, we're speaking with Sky Perryman, president and CEO of Democracy Forward, an organization that uses the law to build collective power and advance a democracy for all. Democracy Forward did a deep dive into Project 2025, and they wrote a 48-page report called The People's Guide to Project 2025. They say it is among the most profound threats to the American people. And you can find the complete guide at KALW.org, click news, and then your call. I'm Rose Aguilar. We'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Today, we are continuing our Project 2025 series by focusing on what it means for the people. You can find all of our past Project 2025 shows at KALW.org, click news, and then Your Call. Also, there's some interesting information out about the Heritage Foundation President Kevin Roberts' new book. J.D. Vance, Donald Trump's running mate, has deep ties to the Heritage Foundation. He wrote the foreword for this forthcoming book. It's called Dawn's Early Light. The New Republic reports that the original subtitle was Burning Down Washington to Save America, but it's been changed to Taking Back Washington to Save America. Promotional language invoking conservatives on the, quote, war path to burn down institutions like the FBI, the DOJ, and universities has also been removed or toned down, though it's still present in some sales pages. J.D. Vance's Forward ends with a call for followers to, quote, circle the wagons and load the muskets, and describes Kevin Roberts' ideas as an essential weapon in the, quote, fights that lay ahead. But following major criticism across the board of Project 2025, Kevin Roberts has decided to postpone his book launch until after the election. So we know that Donald Trump is trying to distance himself from Project 2025, saying he has no idea who's behind it, even though he has spoken at the Heritage Foundation, and some new photos show him with the Heritage Foundation's president, Kevin Roberts, on a private flight back in 2022. So today we're talking about how this would affect you and everyday people across this country. If you have any questions, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. Today we're joined by Sky Perryman, President and CEO of Democracy Forward. They're out with a 48-page report called the People's Guide to Project 2025. Before we go back to your guide, we have a couple questions from listeners. Art writes, what is being done to confront candidates for Congress with Project 2025 to get them to take a position on it and disavow it? That's a great question, Art. Sky, have you seen politicians asked about Project 2025 in the media?
We do know that it's very concerning for people, and you know, and we do think it's important for everyone to understand where their elected leaders stand. There is a Stop Project 2025 task force that the U.S. House of Representatives, some of their members, began to raise this exact question and to start raising, calling the question, you know, on the floor of Congress as to where do you stand on these policies. And so, you know, I think I would definitely look into that, Art. And then also, this is why we put out the People's Guide, was to make sure people understood the threats that existed so they could do their own research on, you know, on whether these threats are present in their communities and how to combat them.
So that's on the Democratic side. To my knowledge, I haven't heard a Republican just asked a point blank question about Project 2025. Have you?
You know, I don't, I've only seen it in the context of the broader top ticket, you know, of the broader presidential ticket. Yeah.
Right, right. And it's too bad that it didn't come up during the presidential debate. This is a great question, Art. We'll keep tracking this and we'll bring it up on our next show. Another question from Philip. Are there effective efforts to inform potential voters who don't listen to NPR or local public radio or public television about the dangers of Project 2025? I think there's a vast pool of people who are not hostile to the people who are labeled liberal coastal elites, but for certain cultural reasons are simply unaware of the forces of repression that are underway or are misrepresented to them. Sky, what are you all doing to try to get this guide out to the widest number of people possible?
Well, we have had, and this is a maybe a point for inspiration, although we can always use everybody's help in getting it out. But we tried to take the People's Guide to where the people are. And we know that one of those places is online. And so if you go on, channels like X or like TikTok, you will find that there are a number of creators and others who are, you know, creating videos around Project 2025 using this information that is actual information and not disinformation to try to combat that. So that's one place where we need to see more efforts, but where there is a lot of efforts. And then, of course, you know, we're in communities every day. We represent teachers and parents and healthcare professionals and librarians and so many people that make up the fabric of the country in their communities, where in many of these communities, to the caller's question, we're already seeing these policies take foot. And so we've been doing a lot of efforts, you know, a lot of work within and on the ground in communities to make sure people understand what is at stake with this and what's happening in their community. But I agree that there's so much work to be done to make sure that people are understanding. There is some new information out that's suggesting that this message is penetrating across the country, that people are becoming aware of what Project 2025 is and seeing it as a threat, which we think is really important because it is such a threat and it can happen here. I mean, that's the other thing, is many people don't believe these things can happen in the United States, but we've seen that this extremism can happen here.
Well, and everything you lay out in your plan really affects tens of millions of people. The next section, restrict reproductive rights and access to health care. The first part here is about Medicare and medication. And according to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, 67.3 million people in this country are on Medicare. 67 million. And you all write that Project 2025 would undo Medicare's new ability to negotiate lower prescription prices for seniors. Tell us more about how that would work.
Yeah, so this is really, really important. And so in the Inflation Reduction Act, which was passed a major milestone in the Biden-Harris administration, there is now the power that Medicare has the power to negotiate directly for lower prescription drug costs. I mean, this is huge. It is a big win for the American people. It is, you know, overwhelmingly supported by the vast majority of Americans. And yet, Project 2025 wants to roll that back, and they want to do that in a few ways. One, it calls for a repeal of that major milestone. So it would call for Congress to repeal that portion, those portions of the Inflation Reduction Act, which is just so harmful and so unpopular. But the another thing that we want to make sure, of course, we're in all these courtroom fights, we want to make sure that people understand, is currently there are a number of lawsuits that are seeking to have the courts stop this progress that's been made on affordable prescription drugs. By the way, those lawsuits aren't going anywhere. The Department of Justice, and aided by groups like ours, which is representing the medical community on briefs, has been able so far to defeat those challenges. But that's what we want to highlight. That's because this Department of Justice is seeking to ensure that this milestone law and is defended in court, right? If control of the federal executive branch switches and you have another Department of Justice, one that is run by people that are affiliated with the same groups that are behind Project 2025, we can't rely on the fact that the Department of Justice would defend this core milestone and core marker against the attacks from Big Pharma and other industries. So it's kind of a twofer there, where there's a call to have Congress overturn this progress, which is very bad for so many of us that rely on prescription drugs and need them to be more affordable. But then also the notion of the Department of Justice's hands, the power of the Department of Justice coming into the hands of groups that are behind, or people that are behind Project 2025, also presents a threat to that affordable prescription drug medication.
Another section on Medicare would push people towards private Medicare plans that worsen health outcomes. Under the guise of allowing greater choice, Project 2025 would push policies that favor private, worse performing alternatives to Medicare. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, and this has been a longstanding, sort of policy goal of a range of far right groups. And so, but we do see that in Project 2025, where they want to encourage a future administration to push people into these plans, to use the mechanics of the federal government, whether that's the Center for Medicare or Medicaid Services or others, to push people. And we're really concerned because we know that some of these attempts to push people into plans are misleading. They're actually misleading to the American people, which is the very people that the government is supposed to be protecting. And so we are concerned and believe that this could put about 33 million people enrolled in traditional Medicare plans at risk.
Wow. In their own words, this is on page 463, Project 2025 says Medicare regulations restrict choice of coverage and care. The next administration should reintroduce and restore regulations and demonstrations from the Trump administration that were withdrawn, weakened, or never finalized by the Biden administration. So what would you say to people who think, well, maybe this will provide me with more choice?
Yeah, I mean, it just, we know it doesn't. We know that these are false choices. It doesn't provide the American people with more benefits or more ability to sort of chart a path that is good. It rather seeks to, it rather would just seek to enhance powerful private interests that are not concerned with the common good. So that's really the response. And we've seen this time and again.
Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to abortion, Project 2025 would revoke approval from the Food and Drug Administration to criminalize mailing medication abortion, or even enlist the EPA as part of their anti-abortion efforts?
Yeah, so it proposes a range of things with respect to reproductive health care access. One is to politicize the Food and Drug Administration, to have it walk away from, decades of evidence and data that led to the approval and to the accessibility of mifepristone. Of course, like with some of these other themes, we're seeing this already in the courts, but it would really be detrimental at the federal level. That's one attempt there. Other things that it would do, though, is in sort of wheeling and dealing and misinformation, it would seek to weaponize other agencies, including, as you know, the EPA or others, in this march towards greater restrictions, greater bans, and inhibitions on our reproductive freedom as a country. It's totally anti-freedom. It's totally anti-democratic, but that's what we see. It would do a range of things. I was just talking, we were just talking about what would happen if the Department of Justice, the leadership sort of changed hands there. There are proposals in Project 2025 to unearth Victorian era morality laws, for instance, known as the Comstock Act, and to seek to have criminal enforcement against the transportation of whether that's medication, abortion, or other medical supplies that are used in providing and delivering reproductive health care and abortion care. And so there are just a range of dystopian policies that, of course, we know millions of people, as a result of the same interests that are behind Project 2025, the same groups have signed Project 2025 that were behind overturning Roe v. Wade and the Dobbs decision. They're fast at work here, and they're not stopping. And so there's really a lot at stake.
I was not aware of their plan to enlist the EPA as part of their anti-abortion efforts. And you all write that Project 2025 wants an anti-democratic president to direct the Environmental Protection Agency to classify medication abortion as containing forever chemicals, which are subject to stricter regulations. If the EPA were to classify medication abortion as a, quote, forever chemical, it would stifle the approval and distribution of medication abortion. Wow.
Yes. And again, this is another theme that we want people to understand. These are things that seem wonky when you're looking at them, but they're part of a broad, concerted effort. They're part of a broad concerted effort. And so that's sort of number one. Number two is this idea around the EPA actually came from very far right groups. We've seen it talked about before. And of course, you see it make its way now into a major policy document and platform. And so that's what we want, the trend we want people to understand, is that these things that seem fringe and extreme, there is an attempt to try to make them more acceptable through putting it in Project 2025, when really what it is another effort to ban and to restrict abortion and reproductive health care, and to misuse the EPA, by the way. Because I know we may not have time today to get through all of it, but one of the things we point out in the People's Guide are the many ways in which this plan would seek to undermine core environmental protections and climate protections, even the agency that collects information that leads to the basis of our National Weather Service. And so, like, clearly this is not out of a concern for the good work the EPA and other agencies can be doing. Project 2025 is not concerned with that or with the environment. They're just concerned for using and weaponizing the federal government against the American people in order to take away our freedoms and make our country less democratic.
We are talking about the People's Guide to Project 2025 with Skye Perryman, President and CEO of Democracy Forward. They put together a 48-page report outlining all of the things that we're talking about today. It is very detailed. You can find it at KALW.org, click News, and then Your Call. One more thing on abortion here. Project 2025 would remove protections the Biden administration put in place post-Dobbs to protect the personal information of people who receive reproductive care. So this would make it easier for extremists to access personal information about patients' reproductive care?
Yes, and this is a major, in fact, I was just in a conversation yesterday with a number of leaders. And, you know, we've already seen states with far right leadership seek to weaponize privacy to monitor and surveil things. This proposal, of course, rears its head in Project 2025, and we've outlined that in the People's Guide. We're concerned it could even go further. And so this is something that we are very much concerned about watching. It's why one of the reasons we wanted to make sure people were following this is there are a range of ways that the extremists behind Project 2025 would seek to weaponize our government against people. And one is to undermine privacy guidance to, HIPAA and other rights that the American people have. They call for in their own language on page 497 of Project 2025, if you want to go there, they call for withdrawing guidance, that has also sort of helped protect privacy in the wake of the Dobbs decision.
This one is so important. You all write that in the immediate aftermath of the Dobbs decision, the Biden administration issued HIPAA guidance to, quote, ensure doctors and other medical providers and health plans know that with limited exceptions, they are not required and in many cases are not permitted to disclose patients' private information, including to law enforcement, end quote. The administration later finalized a rule to shield the medical records of patients from criminal investigations if they cross state lines to seek an abortion where it's legal, even as extremists in Texas actively try to use the courts to access information about people receiving abortions out of state. Project 2025 claims that the Biden administration's privacy guidance is fear-mongering and would have a future administration withdraw it. As more states move to pass severe efforts to criminalize abortion, this would put providers and all pregnant people at increased risk.
Yes.
This reminds me, the Harris campaign just came out with a very dark ad showing a man and a woman driving, and they get pulled over by a cop, and they say, where are you going? I think she said to my sister's, and he pulls out his phone. He goes, oh no, your sister's, it was like at a movie or a park. So he knew where her sister was. And he basically said, we know that you're going to get an abortion and that's illegal. You cannot cross lines to do that. And he asked them to step out of the car. So what's interesting to me about this guy is a lot of people responding on this tweet say that's a lie. That would never happen in this country.
So, I mean, I see in the work that we do every day on behalf of people and communities in places like Texas, in places like Florida, millions of people across the country, where what we thought would not happen, what people thought would not happen, has happened. We are now seeing, and you've seen these stories of women who are unable, mothers who are experiencing complications in pregnancy and are unable to access life-saving and health-saving emergency abortion care as a result of this extremism. We have already seen far-right actors and extremists seek to undermine people's travel, issue warnings around the right to travel, which should be a fundamental right in this country and is a fundamental right in this country. But there are fights to sort of roll that back by extremists. And so I don't think any of these fact patterns are hyperbole. Many of them are not, hypothetical because we see this. And so I think that we do have to challenge ourselves to be able to look this extremism in the face, which is what we tried to do with the People's Guide, the Project 2025, to look the extremism in the place, in the face, and not blink, and be able to say, this is what is being proposed and what could happen in our country. And we all have work that we can do to help advance the democracy for all and protect our freedoms. But we've got to admit that there are these extreme situations in 2024, women in this country, literally being left a life flown out of hospitals because they can't get the care they need, doctors being threatened with being criminalized for providing emergency care. I mean, this is the kind of stuff we're seeing all over the country right now. And so I think, that would be sort of my view, is I think we can't lull ourselves into complacency thinking this could never happen here when we're in the middle of what is a really concerning backslide of our democracy. You know, in 2021, after January 6th, the United States was placed on a list of global backsliding democracies. And because of these reversals in our rights, it has remained on that list. And this is a critical moment about whether that backslide is going to accelerate or whether we're going to be able to turn the tide. So, we try to highlight some of these things in the People's Guide, which again, for your listeners, is available at democracyforward.org. You can download it. And if you're not interested in the full 48-page report, which we thought was much shorter than 900 pages, we have it to where you can link to the certain issues that matter to you most, and you can read just specifically about those. But I think that, that's what we see. We see that this is playing out in communities, and it could become much more of a threat if the federal landscape regresses.
Skye, we have about a minute left. What else are you all doing to get Project 2025 out to people who might not get their news from an outlet that is talking about Project 2025?
Well, we've done a lot, and we need your, you know, we need everybody's help, but we are doing a lot of work digitally to be sure that we're meeting people where they are online. We have done a lot of work in local, like with local news outlets, that maybe are not, you know, not NPR all the time, but sort of those local news outlets, to make sure that people are hearing from members of their communities about Project 2025. And then we are really seeking to educate and make sure that everyone, from policymakers to ordinary Americans going about their lives, understand the stakes here. And really appreciate you having me on so that we could talk about this today, because I do think you have a lot of folks that are listening and care. But we know that this is something that's got to reach into our communities in new ways. And that's what we're doing. We're on the road. We're on the ground. We're doing this work to educate people across the country and people online.
Skye Perryman is president and CEO of Democracy Forward. That's an organization that uses the law to build collective power and advance a democracy for all. Skye and her team did an extensive read of Project 2025's 900-plus page mandate for leadership, and they put together a 48-page report called The People's Guide to Project 2025. You can find it at our website, kalw.org. Click on News and then Your Call. You can also find all of our past Project 2025 shows there. Skye, huge thanks to you and your team for your work. Thank you for joining us, and we'd love to have you back to go over the rest of your report.
Let's do it, because, look, there's a lot more in there. We didn't talk about the civil service. We didn't talk about a range of stuff, but thanks for having me. And again, folks can download it at democracyforward.org, and we'll come back and talk more.
Great. Thank you so much. We'll have you back.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.